It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast off-season style, which means we bring on guests and have some unbelievable conversations with some guys that on a weekly basis blow me away in terms of their intelligence and the amount of time and effort they put into this thing. Really, really impressed. Today, Evan, and of course I'm talking to Evan Silva of Roto World, at Evan Silva on Twitter. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. Today, Evan, we are presented by DraftKings.com. Look, football fantasy might be over, but there's plenty of ways to play fantasy if you want to. How about golf? Whether you're a bona fide golf superstar, you love it, aficionado, or you just love fantasy sports, you can love playing one-week fantasy golf at DraftKings.com, where you could win your share of hundreds of thousands of dollars in total prizes. Here's the key, though. You have to pick your six golfers before a tournament tees off Thursday morning, which is why we're telling you this today. Remember, tournaments begin Thursday mornings. So hurry to DraftKings.com now to get in the action. All you have to do is use the code FEAST, and they'll let you play for free with your first deposit. That's code FEAST to play for free for your share of hundreds of thousands of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings.com. Minimum $5 deposit. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Evan, as we are due this offseason, we're going to bring on some guests. Tell me about today's guest and why we have him on.
Just a super, super smart dude. You know, like the first time I talked to him, I was sometimes like when you're talking to somebody and you know that they are smarter than you. I mean, you probably don't experience this very often, Ross, because you went to Princeton. But when you're talking to someone and you just know that they're smarter than you, that was the experience that I had the first time that I talked to Josh Hermsmeyer.
Well, by the way, I'm looking forward to talking to Josh, and I don't really care what school I went to. It happens all the time where I am blown away and I'm thinking, wow, does this guy realize? It's almost like when I would get in my stance, Evan, against Daryl Gardner or Tim Bowens or Big Daddy Wilkinson or Sam Adams or Bryant Young or Richard Seymour. And I used to sit there and think, does this guy know how much better he is than me? Like, does he know that when, if he really tries that he could kill me every play? It's the same kind of deal. I love it. Let's get into it.
Big Eater of the Week.
Well, as promised, we are in that time of year when Evan brings on guests that some of us have never heard of, yet they always end up being awesome. So today's guest, Josh Hermsmeyer, has a lot to live up to. You can follow him on Twitter, at Frisco Josh. And of course, make sure you do that. He is a contributor for RotoViz. He is the air yards guy. So Josh, before we even get into that, I always like finding out what the background is of the guys that Evan brings on. He doesn't bring somebody on unless he thinks that they are a stud that has a lot of value. So what is your background?
Well, my real-life job, I'm the co-founder, CEO of a software company out here in California. But I've been involved in analytics, been an interest of mine for about 10 years. Started off in sabermetrics, and about 2 years ago, I started working with football stats.
I love it. All right. And I see your pinned tweet that you got to write an article for Roto World.
Yeah, that was pretty thrilling. You know, folks like me who do analytics and fantasy football as a hobby, you know, we go on Roto World every day and, you know, we visit it all the time. And, you know, one of the things that if you really spend a lot of time in something like fantasy football, having an article on that website at some point in your life, definitely a bucket list item. So I was pretty thrilled yesterday to get it on there. And I thank Evan for that.
That is awesome. By the way, Josh, I see that you also have Visit New Zealand on your list. New Zealand's awesome. So I can just give you a heads up there. I've been there, absolutely loved it. So what are air yards, and how are you providing value on the podcast?
Sure. So air yards are just a way to measure the amount of yards that are behind each target to a receiver. And really, it's just another measure of volume. One of the things I found when I started looking at it that was kind of interesting was in the NFL, even if you take into account catch rate, a deep pass is worth more in expected points and fantasy points, which in my opinion are basically the exact same thing. It's worth more than a shorter pass. And even when you factor in the fact that a 40-yard pass only gets caught 30% of the time, you're still looking at it's a more expected value play, a higher expected value play than a short pass. So kind of getting a measure of how deep these targets are and applying that to projections on fantasy football players is actually really useful, and it helps you spot buy low guys a little bit easier than you might otherwise be able to.
I love it. So give me an example of a guy that you think is a perfect example of what you're talking about here.
Sure. So, I mean, last year we were all really kind of disappointed in what Allen Robinson did. And I think he was disappointed in himself. I think there's a lot of reasons why people might point to the quarterback play and Blake Bortles, but the guy had a ton of opportunity. Like he had 2,000 air yards. He had, you know, a 0.57 opportunity rating, which is a metric I came up with that combines targets and air yards and kind of weights them properly. But the idea really is that guys who get that much opportunity year over year, it sticks. They tend to get that volume again. And efficiency is really random. You know, whether you catch a ball in a contested catch in one play or not, it is really kind of variable. I mean, we saw in the Super Bowl, we saw one of the best players ever, Tom Brady, have a half that was just terrible, and his players not catching anything. And just on third downs and in the important moments, you know, the ball wasn't bouncing the right way. And that's variability. That's variation. That's the type of thing you have to look past when you're doing forecasting and say, on average, what's going to happen. So what I do is I look at volume sticky. It's probably going to be there next year. Will he see an uptick in efficiency? Will he be more lucky next year? So a guy like Allen Robinson is a guy I definitely point to. DeAndre Hopkins had horrible quarterback play as well, as we all know. But he, again, had a ton of volume. And if he's just a little more lucky next year, if a couple more balls go his way, a couple more passes don't sail, you know, we're looking at a guy who could put up some numbers better than you might expect.
So how much historical data do you have on this? Because I think one fair question would be, well, if Allen Robinson did not make the most of those opportunities, how can you guarantee that the volume will be there? How can you be so sure that the volume will be there the next year? Because we know the Jags have an analytics department. Maybe they're looking at it and saying, you know what? He wasn't that efficient with the opportunities. We probably shouldn't give him as many opportunities next year.
Yeah, that's a real fair question. I have data from 2009 to 2016. It's all from Elias. It's all charted by them the same way they chart receptions and all the rest. And it's actually straight from the NFL. So I looked at all those, all that data from all those years. And what you find is efficiency is really kind of random year to year. But you can say that on average, a player who gets a pass thrown at them at a certain target depth will catch it in the NFL pretty reliably at that rate. So like it goes a steep slope all the way down and then kind of levels off past about 35 yards, and any pass past 35 yards, about 35% catch rate. And I'm sure the Jags have this data. I mean, this is not world, you know, mind bending data, but it's the first time just like armchair analysts like myself have had a chance to get a look at it. And so if you look at Allen Robinson, his depth of target on average was 13.2 yards. They were chucking the ball up at him. And the Jags know that those aren't 50-50 balls. Those are tough catches, you know, and you need a quarterback who's putting that right on the money. You know, I'm sure Allen Robinson had his share of drops last year, but again, you have to look back to the inherent talent in the player, inherent talent in the wide receiver. And I think they have a lot of confidence in Allen Robinson, and I don't see them going away from him as their number one wide receiver.
So then is it fair to say that based on the data you have that teams in general should throw the ball deeper more often? Is that fair?
I think, you know, saying, making a blanket statement like that in a game like football is a little, I think that would be a little bit too much. But I would say if you have a guy that can win deep, you probably should try and target him deep a little bit more. Because, you know, obviously these stats and the data I have are reflective of the idea that you're only going to throw deep if you got a guy out there who you want to throw to. And that 30% catch rate on deep passes are when the teams think they actually have a good shot of making those passes. So I would just suggest for teams that have people like Mike Evans and Beckham and maybe even and Julio, of course, and Jordy, I think those type of teams maybe could see some better results if they maybe chucked it up a few more times a game to those guys deep.
This is awesome. Evan, I'm going to let you dive in now. Go get him. This is really cool, Josh.
Yeah. So, you know, in your article, you talk about how, and you obviously did an article for Roto World, and it was great. And I mean, it's like pretty short. It's like an easy read. It's really easy to understand. You know, so anybody who is like it was anticipating something that's real complicated, you know, that's not this. It's really simple and easy to understand. And it's predictive, and it's going to be very useful for fantasy football. Josh, do you think that at some point air yards could kind of like overtake targets as maybe the standard by which we are measuring wide receiver volume?
You know, I looked at that. I thought maybe at first that would be the case. But then when I did all this crazy machine learning stuff and the weighting I really came out with was that targets, especially in like PPR formats, are about twice as important as air yards. But targets are super important, right? I mean, it's the most predictive thing we have in terms of trying to, say, forecast what a player is going to do in a given year. And so to say that we found another metric that's even half as important as that, I think is a big deal. And that's why I'm excited about air yards.
Can you name a couple of players that air yards identified last year and was kind of like out in front of? I guess that's the entire question.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. So in week one, the model told me that Terrell Pryor and Tyrell Williams would both be solid bets. You know, nothing's ever for sure. But at the first week of the season, one of the things I found was that just the number of air yards a receiver got was more predictive than his receiving yards, number of targets he got, number of touchdowns. And so early on in the season, air yards are really, really important and something to watch for. And they'll help you kind of get inside the head of the coach and the QB in terms of what their game plan is looking like. And for someone like Tyrell Williams, you know, obviously Keenan Allen went down in week one and there was a lot of, you know, question marks surrounding, you know, who would be the guy there, who would take over that volume and would get the points and the yards. And, you know, for the first couple of weeks, it wasn't Tyrell Williams. It wasn't Inman there. It was Travis Benjamin. But pretty soon, you know, those indicators we saw early on in the season in terms of targets and volume towards Terrell Williams kind of shook out. And by the end of the season, he was getting the vast majority of the run and turned out to be a really solid guy to pick up off the waiver wire early in the season.
In the article, you talk about how air yards are a measure of intent. And that, you know, that's the same. It reminds me of like how we look at red zone targets. You know, where are the coaches calling plays to when the offense is in scoring position? And in this respect, we're talking about the coach's intent to try to get the ball to these players for like chunk yardage plays, you know, downfield splash plays. Are there any guys that you're maybe looking at for 2017 besides Allen Robinson, besides DeAndre Hopkins, that 2016 air yards data identified and you think might be a candidate to take a step forward or maybe to take a step back?
Sure. So the thing that air yards is really good at is identifying guys who are buy lows, but it doesn't really say too terribly much about guys who might regress, right? Because volume's sticky and it's a good thing always to get more targets and have more yards thrown your way. It's not really useful at helping you find guys that might regress. And there's lots of guys, you know, every year who perform under expectations. But one guy I think who will perform over expectations maybe is Marvin Jones. And the reason being, this is more an argument about value. I don't think that Marvin Jones is going to be drafted as high as maybe is warranted. He got about the same volume thrown his way as Tate. So they both had almost exactly the same weighted opportunity rating. But Marvin Jones, as the season wore on, stopped being as efficient as he was early on in the season. He had a few deep balls thrown his way, I think week one, week two, converted those deep balls, turned in crooked fantasy numbers, and people got excited. But then, you know, Detroit did what they were going to do, which was they were going to maintain this new short passing approach and try and make Stafford efficient. And you saw that play out as the season progressed. And so Golden Tate, you know, eventually got his volume back up. And I think people are kind of off Marvin Jones now. And I would just suggest that, again, if his efficiency picks up just a little and returns closer to league average, which is what we should expect based on historical averages, and Marvin Jones is a good player, I think you could see a guy who could definitely return value and maybe be a huge buy low if he's going at ADPs of like wide receiver 5, which is what I've seen on some early ADP numbers.
Were there any receivers last year that you thought maybe like later in the season that you thought kind of could be like Tyrell Williams and Terrell Pryor based on how many air yards they were receiving, but they kind of didn't deliver?
Yeah, a guy that kind of fits that mold later in the season was a guy, Rishard Matthews. And, you know, he has a ton of air yards, but he got most of them in the second half, 1,427 air yards. And I think, I don't know that he's flying under the radar at this point anymore, but I think there's a lot of question marks. And again, we're using air yards to kind of read the coaches and QB's mind. There's a lot of question marks rolling into this season about whether or not they're going to try and turn their offense towards the tight end again, or if Rishard Matthews is going to continue to be the guy who sees that volume. And so that's something I'm going to be looking at really, really closely as the season begins in Tennessee, is to see where Mariota is going with the ball early. And I'm going to try and make really early moves based on that data in the first couple weeks and pick up or try and trade for the receiver that's getting the majority of the volume.
So we've talked about wide receivers. Were there any tight ends, you know, like interesting tight end situations that stuck out to you last year or maybe interest you for 2017?
For sure. Kyle Rudolph showed up early in the model just because he was such a focal point in that offense. Bradford is a check down guy, and he has been pretty much his whole career. And Kyle Rudolph is his safety valve. And you know, Rudolph had a 23% target share. He had an exact 23% share of the air yards. But he was targeted shallow, like 6.8 yards per target. So he was getting these short passes and he was efficient with them. You know, he's turning almost every yard that was thrown his way into a receiving yard. So he caught the ball. He got some yak. I think that Bradford trusts him. It doesn't look like Bridgewater is going to be back this year. So I don't see any reason to think while Kyle Rudolph wouldn't be another really safe play at tight end in the upcoming season. Another guy I really like is Travis Kelce. He's uber efficient. Again, you know, about 6 or 7 yards, air yards per target. So he's targeted in shallow portions of the field. But again, you got a quarterback who likes to check down. He's a relatively large part of the offense as far as tight ends go. So I think as long as he can stay healthy, he's another really good bet.
Awesome. And this will be my last one, Ross. Where do we find air yards? You know, like, you really have been the person who has talked about it the most. But I mean, it's not known, you know, the air yards and even where to find them are not known to most of the public.
Yeah, this is going to get in the weeds a little bit, but it kind of goes to my software background. So the NFL has an app on their website called Game Center, and they use it to stream live scores and stats. And embedded within the Game Center API, call it application programming interface, just a bunch of data they throw at that thing, are air yards. And they have them kind of hidden. They don't show them on the website. They don't show them in the app on Game Center. But if you watch that stream of data going from their server to it, you can decode it, figure it out, store it to a database and do some analysis on it. So that was something I did. It's the reason why most people don't have it is because it's really hard to get your hands on. But like I said, it originates with Elias. It's charted just like they chart everything else in every game in one of the booths upstairs. And so it's legit data. And like I said, comes straight for the NFL.
Speaking of legit, that was legit, Josh. Really, really enjoyed that. Does seem like a smart way to look at it. Make sure you're following him on Twitter at Frisco Josh. We'd love to have you on again at some point, Josh. Thanks so much.
I appreciate it, guys. It was a thrill.
So now that yet another one of Evan's under-the-radar superstars has somehow found a way to grab the data from the NFL's back end, you're going to want to figure out the air yards and win some money in fantasy football in 2017. After you do that, do what I did and take a look at richuncles.com. It's a REIT, real estate investment trust. I think most of you know what they are. If you don't, they own commercial property, collect rent from creditworthy tenants, and they pay out a monthly cash dividend, which right now is 7% annualized. Like any investments, there's some risks, not fully guaranteed, so check it out for yourself at richuncles.com. Again, richuncles.com, or call 855-RICH-UNCLES, and you're looking at Rich Uncles REIT, a Reg A Tier 2 offering. Make sure you tell them that Evan from the Fantasy Feast sent you.
Rich Uncles REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent in response, will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $2,000 by Rich Uncles for this single message.
Ever wanted to ask an NFL player a question? Well, here's your chance. It's time to Ask Ross.
Not one, but two emails today, Evan. I love it. People sending me sponsor confirmations, whether it's DraftKings or Rich Uncles or whatever. You can go to any of the sponsors over at thegloriousrosstucker.com, where Bri is constantly tweeting the sponsor page at RTF Podcast in case you forget and it's time for a Casper mattress or you've been procrastinating with Dollar Shave Club, whatever it is. Just make sure after you sign up, you send the email to me, ross@rostucker.com. We got two today, Evan. The first one is from William Weaver, who took advantage of the Sherry's Berries deal we had the last couple weeks for Valentine's Day. Ross, I'm forwarding you this sponsor confirmation from Sherry's Berries. I've ordered them before through your link. I've been very pleased with my order. Thank you, William. My question is for Evan. I need advice for a startup dynasty draft. The draft is a snake draft. Our league is a 12-team PPR and IDP league, starting one quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, two tight ends, two flex, two D-line, four linebackers, two DBs, and no kickers. We will have 42-man rosters, and the 7-round rookie draft will be separate from the initial draft. What advice can you offer in regards to draft strategy? I am wanting to go with a win now model. Any tips would be great. This is my first dynasty league. So that's interesting, Evan, that it's his first dynasty league, and then he tells you he wants a win now model, which doesn't that on some level defeat the purpose?
No, I think that's the best way to go. I think that win now is the best way to go. I think that, you know, trying to like build for the future and acquire future draft picks and things like that, like punt a year. I don't think that's the way to go. I mean, I think that future draft picks in dynasty leagues are overrated commodities and should be treated as trade chips to try to get actually good NFL players instead of, you know, throwing darts at guys that, you know, might never help your fantasy team. This is a very deep league. I play in one dynasty league that is like this. And we had our startup, 10 years ago. So, I honestly haven't done a startup in a monster league like this with IDPs and, you know, so many flex spots. I haven't done one of those in like 10 years, honestly. But I think that if I was going to do one like tomorrow, with all the scoring position, with all the scoring that he gave, I would be hammering wide receivers early. I mean, it's a PPR league. I wouldn't, you want to get young wide receivers with your pick, with your early picks. But I also would be willing to take wide receivers that may be undervalued, like someone like AJ Green, because he's going to be 29, or even Jordy Nelson, you know, who might fall to like the fifth or sixth round because people get worried about his age. The other big piece of advice that I would give would be to certainly wait on IDPs. That, you know, you don't want to build around IDPs. You want to build around wide receivers, and particularly linebackers. Linebackers are and defensive backs also fall into this. Linebackers and defensive backs, there are always guys out there on the waiver wire that are going to be productive. Every year there will be a guy who has like, you know, one or two guys who have like 150 tackles or something crazy, but you don't want to chase that. You want to, like, linebackers and defensive backs are extremely replaceable, and I would wait till the very end of the draft before taking any of those guys. So I would start off hammering wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends. Also, in these dynasty leagues, older quarterbacks tend to be undervalued and are guys that you can get like super, super late. I've done a couple of startups recently, not in a league that is quite as deep as this, but I've done a few recently, and like you get a guy like Phillip Rivers in like the 14th, 15th round. He can be your starter for the next couple of years. Like Tom Brady always goes like ridiculously late in these. And at this point, I wouldn't rule him out playing like three or four more years. I would really try to hammer wide receivers, tight ends, and then running backs in the early rounds. And you can get really good value at the quarterback position with older guys. And then linebackers and defensive backs at the very, very tail end of the draft.
I can chime in on this since I won my first ever Dynasty League, William. That, by the way, people can be a part of here on the Fantasy Feast. We'll get a new Dynasty League going in the next couple months that you guys can attempt to enter. I can go against Evan and I. My advice, William, would be to get the number one pick in the draft and take Zeke Elliott like I did. That's my advice. It worked very well for me. I'm very happy about it. So
that was in a rookie draft, though, to be clear. That was in the rookie draft.
Yeah, there's two parts of it, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's you draft veterans, and then there's the rookie draft, and you got the rookie draft. You got Zeke Elliott in the rookie draft.
Right. I mean, it was just tremendous skill by me to get the number one pick and take Zeke.
Tremendous, tremendous. I mean just like when Grigson stole Andrew Luck at number one overall.
One other email, Evan, and this is a BetDSI promo code just before the Super Bowl. How about this? Patrick says, I put $100 on the Pats, was obviously a stone cold lock all the way. I plan to punt away my winnings in support of your podcast. So our guy Patrick sent us a sponsor confirmation from BetDSI where he used the glorious code Tucker15 in order to get the free $15. Anyway, thank you, Patrick. That's an easy one to send along, free money. On to my question, which is mainly for Evan. I get it, guys. I get it. I know he has appeared on the Fantasy Labs podcast amongst other high-profile DFS tout podcasts. He seems to know several of the high-volume DFS players. I was wondering if he could comment on the extent to which those high-volume guys use the lineup tools and projections that they market. More specifically, to what extent do they have their own secret sauce that they don't put up for sale?
This is a difficult question for me to answer because I don't know. But I mean, I can sort of guess and speculate. I think that a lot of the high volume players that are associated with Fantasy Labs, absolutely use the Fantasy Labs tools to make a lot of their decisions because, you know, I'm one of the people, I mean, I try to look at the high volume players' lineups after the lineups lock and see, you know, and see if I'm on the same page with them because they're the greatest DFS players in the world and I'm trying to learn from them. So I think that the people that are associated with Fantasy Labs absolutely do because, I mean, I use Fantasy Labs and, you know, like you can just kind of tell, like, who these guys have in their lineups, you know, and compare and contrast that to who, like, Fantasy Labs likes in a given day, in a given week. But, you know, outside of Fantasy Labs, I just really don't know. That would be my answer there.
I like it. That's a good question. That question was over my head, but I was able to, in context, understand it. Love it. Let's get to a bunch more email questions every week. These are fun. Both those questions were fun. Send them right to me, ross@rostucker.com. All you have to do is take advantage of any of our sponsors, and I guarantee we will read and respond to it right here on the Fantasy Feast podcast. You can ask Evan whatever you want. Hopefully you're already following him on Twitter at Evan Silva. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. If you're a Facebook person, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. It may be February. Some people out there might think fantasy season won't be here for a long time. You got to be kidding me. The people that listen today and listen to Josh Hermsmeyer, you guys are ahead of the game for the other people, from the other people that we'll just tune in August. You got to be kidding me. Terrific job by Evan to get Josh on here. Really, really impressed. And you guys doing the right thing by listening to this bad boy. Other than that, though, I am stuffed. That was a feast if I've ever had one. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
You know, there's something about TrueCar. I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for a while, but there's something a lot of people don't know, and is that using TrueCar can also help you buy a used car. In fact, there are over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. So you knew about buying new cars. You can also get better deals on pre-owned cars through the TrueCar certified dealer network. The key is you'll see what other people paid for the car in your area. So if you want to know what a fair price is and feel confident when you make your purchase, that is the key to me. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. That is the way that you can go. Again, TrueCar. Some of these features, by the way, not available in all states, but it's pretty cool. I've used TrueCar to know what you're doing, to know what price you should be paying. It's really, really nice. A quick, easy buying experience. Again, check out TrueCar before you buy your new or pre-owned car.